This week, we are talking all about the pain that's passed down from parent to child. All of that and more. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
The facial expression.
Literally, it makes me want to crump.
Yes. Crump it out.
Stop the yard.
Stop. Come on and stop.
Red table talk.
The yard. Yes. Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is the Red Table Talk after show here on this lovely Monday evening. I'm Tyler Simone, and I couldn't do it without my lovely co-host to my left. Hello, yes. Welcome.
Hello, hello. Starting great Monday. Okay.
Yay, woo. She's so, back.
I'm back. I'm
yes,
back.
You
I'm
are.
Back. I come in every now and then, every other week, right?
Yes.
But I'm excited. Hello, my name is Jade Ming, and let's get it started.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now I'm your man, Tyler Tyson. I ain't going nowhere.
Oh.
No.
Nowhere.
No. Nowhere.
We love a loyal man.
We do.
Come on, right?
You know what I mean?
Dependable.
To this.
Dependable.
We love loyal men.
Dependable and loyal. That's what
like
we love to
old
see.
Chevy. I am always here. Always ready to go.
Out of all things.
Come on.
Awesome.
Yes. We are the Red Table Talk after show, and today we have a great show.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot that went on in this week's episode featuring Demi Moore and her two daughters. What did you guys think about this episode?
It was definitely a very emotional episode.
Yes.
And I for sure believe that it definitely hit a lot of women, especially mothers and daughters.
Yeah.
I like how transparent everybody was being. You mm-hmm. know, it's always nice knowing that with like anyone that goes on Red Table Talk, they feel so like
mm-hmm.
comfortable with Jada. You yeah. know, she is the next Oprah. I really believe she is the next Oprah.
Mm.
The way amazing. People are just coming at her, like
yeah,
coming to her and like speaking to her and asking for advice and just wanting to talk it out. It's gives me a lot of Oprah Dr. Phil vibes.
That was good insight.
I agree. Yeah.
I didn't even make that connection, but yeah. I think you're right.
That, for sure.
That was dope.
How'd you feel about it, Tyler?
I really enjoyed the episode. Like you said, I really enjoyed the transparency, the honesty. Mm. You know, I'm always for being honest mm-hmm. in all situations, especially now. So I loved it.
Yeah, yeah, me too. That's yeah. a really good point, too. Like, Demi had interviews, I believe, maybe one or a few interviews after she released her book, mm-hmm. Inside Out, which was a memoir, a tell-all, very mm. in-depth. But she wasn't as open as she was. Jada broke a lot of news.
Oh, yeah.
With this episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we
yeah.
found out one of her daughters had been on cocaine at one point. I don't think
wow.
anyone. Yeah, that? it was a lot going on. I personally was really shocked to learn about how easy it is for pain to be passed down from.
Mm-hmm. So crazy.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew that it obviously happens, but it just seems so easy.
And it's also you don't subconsciously think about that, like
no.
you know, it just happens. Like if you think about it, I think a while back when we were talking about your past and what you learned from your parents and stuff, like it's really crazy how when it comes to pain and how it gets passed down, it's really all about how exposed you are. And that's why it's so important when it comes to kids of who you surround your kids, you surround them with and who you're surrounding them with as well. The things, the people, just everything that you do, what you say, because kids pick up on that very easily without even realizing.
Yeah. And two things. One, we know that addiction is a hereditary disease.
Mm.
So, you know, it may manifest itself in a different way. So, you know, if my dad was addicted to fill in the blank drugs, I might not be addicted to drugs. My addiction might be something else. It could be porn. It could be sex. It could be food. It could be working out. It could be a whole bunch of other things. But I still have that addiction type characteristic trait in me.
Mm.
And then also, it's somewhat of a learned behavior, too, because if you do have these addictions, that means that you also have certain characteristic traits. Like, and as a kid, we subconsciously pick up on our parents' traits. So I don't know how to explain it better than that, except for the fact that they might do something and we do it the exact same way, but it just manifests itself differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think those two things combined, I hate to say it, but if you're an addict, the likelihood of your offspring being an addict, especially if they live with you, it's really high.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I learned that not only can it be you pick up on behaviors, but because maybe a parent is addicted to something, they lack in areas. So if they're not giving you love because they're just emotionally invested in something else. Now you're not getting the love, which means you're looking for it in other places.
Or other people.
Yeah. So now you can possibly then look to substance. It's just like, it just seems... Yeah.
A generational cycle that just keeps going on and on and on. And that's why you have to address it and acknowledge it and then work at trying to fix it. So it's like, if I know... So I was going to say this later on, but my dad, perfect example. So my dad lived my entire childhood as a substance abuser that I'm sure people knew, but it wasn't one of those things where he looked like somebody that was on the street. Like, he had a job, he owned a business, like, he's at all of my track meets and everything. Nobody would know. But then at like 50, he checked himself in voluntarily. He didn't, not to our knowledge, hit like a rock bottom. I'm sure he did in his own personal, but he checked himself in, got himself clean, went back to school, whole bunch of stuff happened, 55, graduated from college, and now he's living his best life. But my point is, knowing that, oh wow, he had addiction issues. So now that makes me, as a person that's always trying to like stay on the forefront and self-analyze, like, okay, what are my triggers? What could I potentially be addicted to? Like, what are some warning signs? So if I see myself going down this path, because I know it's in there somewhere, like, I just have to be on it.
Do you think it could be the opposite, where you see maybe what your parent went through and the substance that they were addicted to, and then not want to go and just going completely left?
I think so. I think that's probably what happened for me, is there's so many things that I don't want to do, and I am a control freak, so I can't even imagine giving control up and being addicted to something that, it, you know, runs my life.
Yeah.
But I still think that just like, you have to be on it, because I just really feel like it's in there somewhere. Yeah. And if not properly watched and guarded, it could really look ugly.
Yeah.
But I think that also, like, if you do watch it, like, because me personally, I am the biggest overthinker of them all. So it's like, when it comes to, like, how like, you know, how you should, like, handle it, I do feel like sometimes when you are on it too much, it could get to the point where, like, you think you have control, but low-key, you're starting an addiction. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In a sense, to you trying to avoid it. You know what I mean? Because if you're not addicted to one thing, you'll find something else to be addicted to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why I say it doesn't have to be something, like, dangerous. Yeah. Like, you know,
it's
drugs.
Small
like,
thing.
It can
anything.
Be something small. Like, you know, we joked on one of the shows about being addicted to sugar. Like, we were like, oh, I just know I can't go a day without my gummy bears. It's like, oh,
why can't you go a day without
like,
gummy
clearly
bears,
that's not going to kill you. Right. But it's still like, that's still an addiction. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It could be minor for sure. What I thought was interesting with their situation, Rumor and Tallulah, who are Demi Moore's daughters, is that they lived a completely normal life for the beginning of their childhood, and then it kind of flipped, because now their mom is heavily involved in drinking alcohol or whatever substances she was taking part in. And then how do you go about that? It's like, that alone seems like such an obstacle to have to get through, when your parent was one way and then now there's someone totally different. And they were saying, we didn't even know who our mom was. Like, she's just a completely different person. I feel like that alone is a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Because also, like, when the more you grow up, the more you're understanding what these substances are. You're understanding what the problem is. And so it's like, one, it's like, where did this come from? Where's my mom that just, like, raised me, that, you know, brought me to be this woman that I am? Because at the end of the day, even though you're not fully with your parent, you're still learning from them, even if you're, like, older. It doesn't matter. You're still learning every day something new about them. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like in this moment of time of their transition of becoming an adult, they're also experiencing this. So now it's just like, okay, I'm old enough now. I could take these drugs as well. Like, mom, I could do all this stuff. So I feel like in their mind, maybe as well, like subconsciously, they're like, okay, well, now that I'm older, maybe not trying to understand their mom, but just trying to understand, like, what's so big about it. You know what I mean? To the point where, like, it low-key starts affecting them, because they enjoy the high. Mm-hmm. They enjoy the litness, the turntness, you know, because they realize that it does make you go away. So then that's when they start, like, I feel like applying, oh, okay, well, mom's acting weird. I don't like this. I'm going to go ahead and start hiding behind drinking.
And in this particular situation, these kids had access to everything. So money's not an issue also. So I forget who said it, but there was something that was brought up to the point. I think it might have been Tallulah.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, we felt bad for feeling the way that we felt. Like, clearly we didn't grow up because Demi was abused and had this horrific childhood and everything. And they were like, we didn't have that.
Yeah.
And so there was a little bit of guilt. And I think Jada even said, she used to tell Willa, you go over there with that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what do you have to be feeling any type of way about? And it's like, you still have to allow your kids to feel whatever it is they're feeling. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have all the money in the world, but as a kid, you know, the main thing that we wanted was just our parents' attention and love, and that's it. And if we're not getting that because you're at work, you're strung out on drugs, you're under this guy, whatever the case may be, we still should be able to feel what we're feeling.
Yeah.
So,
and like Rumor said, it's one thing to tell your kid that you love them, but it's another to actually show. And I was reading this in a book. It's called The Gifts of Imperfection. And basically, there's a difference between professing love and then practicing love. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just say, I love you, and then not practice it and not show them, especially if it's a child. They're going to pick up on everything.
And that's how...
Yeah, I think that that's exactly what happened. She was telling them she was loving them, but she wasn't showing it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely understand, like, exactly what that means. Because, like, the thing is, like, in a parent's eyes, like, when they do say I love you, they think that saying I love you, like, because the thing is, at the end of the day, children want love.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is, like, I feel like parents think that, oh, if I say I love you, you know that I love you and I actually care about you. But, It's funny how when it comes to that, though, like, there is it's a gray area that nobody really understands about. Because the thing is, like, just like how, like, for instance, like, it doesn't just pertain to when it comes to relationships. It also pertains to when it comes to your relationship with your parents as well. And so, like, the thing is, like, you know, now more and more and more, like, as people get older, even, like, even for men, like, it's hard to actually show and express love. Now people are starting to use just words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, like, there's only so much that words can really even, like, take you.
Yeah. You have to, I always say, you will never go wrong if you follow someone's actions.
Mm.
A friend of mine.
You always have a friend.
He has a lot of friends.
This is a different one. I was telling all my friends business last week. This is a different friend. But I was telling her, like, the way that you know something has changed, or the way that you know that this is the situation you're in, is by the actions. Because how many times have we all said something, but we follow the same routine? If I tell you, you know, I really don't like that you did this, and I don't want to do this anymore, but next week I'm still doing the same things with you, my words meant absolutely nothing. It's all based on the actions. So if they tell you I love you, what the kids are looking at is, mom's telling me that she loves me, but she's not at my soccer practice. She's never around when I really need her. Like, it can be something that we think is trivial. Johnny broke up with me or something. Clearly, I'm pretending I'm Rumor.
Yeah.
But the mom's not there.
Yeah.
And so it's like she's dealing with this by herself. So it's like, but you said you love me, though.
Yeah. And it seems to, like, that would then trickle down into how Rumor or whoever interprets love. So now she's going on with her life, and she doesn't really know what love is. She doesn't know what it looks like, and she's just trying to figure it out. I wanted to bring up our perception of our parents and how some people look to their parents. They look at them as this amazing superhuman. Yep. They make no mistakes. They're perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. But if your parent doesn't show you their weak side, how will you ever know that being weak, which in this case is more so being vulnerable. People kind of equate weakness with being vulnerable. But if they don't show you that side, how do you know that that's an okay way to be? I feel like that was lacking with them as well. Demi was always the strong mom who took on so many things. And now that she's kind of in her vulnerable state, they don't even know what to do with it.
I thought that was probably, to me, one of, like, the best moments of the entire show, is because I found it very interesting that Demi was like, you know what, I should have been vulnerable. Like, I shouldn't have just been super strong all the time. Like, you need to see every side of me. And I agree with that to, like, a certain extent. You know, if mom is going through a divorce or, like, something traumatic, no, your child does not need to see you mm-hmm. bawling on the floor every single day. No, that child doesn't need to see that. No, the child doesn't need to see you going in on their father or mother or however the divorce is playing out. They don't need to see that. But I do think there should come a point in time when the parent is talking to the child and it's like, you know, mommy's hurting right now. So you just have to, you know, bear with me a little bit. Like, yeah. you'll understand when you get older. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, but you definitely have to, like, show them what happens when you fall, because we're all gonna fall
no
but,
matter what.
But you have to know, like, it's training, right? So they train us how to love, they train us how to do all these things, but they don't train us how to get over hurt, pain, and sorrow, really. Mm-hmm. So it's like we never see our parents worrying about bills and like we have no idea.
Yeah,
all we know is that the cable stays on, the lights stay on, yes. food is in the refrigerator. I ask for my Jordans, I get my Jordans, like
yeah
we don't know that, oh, she had to pay the past due payment on this and then get some money from over here and move. Like, certain things we just don't see.
Then do we know our parents? Because I'm like, I like, you know, you just know certain things about them. But as far as their past and how they grew up, you might know little things, but you don't know.
How much of that
know.
Do you want to know?
How much of it do you want to know? But,
I feel like she has a word.
Go ahead.
Not even a word. Like, it's funny how y'all are describing like this, right? I'm the opposite. I have like the biggest relationship with my mom. Like, it's kind of crazy. Like, we're like best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Me, with that being said, sometimes I know a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And because of knowing too much, you bringing up how, like, you want vulnerability. Don't get me wrong. I like that we're honest. But also at the same time, there's only so much a kid should know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because I agree. The thing is, when the kid knows, it starts becoming a burden to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It takes away their childhood, their innocence. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's true.
And so, like, I could give, like, an example as far as, like, just, like, when it, because, like, you know, I am, like, you know, in a divorced family. And so I come from that. And so, like, when it comes to, you know, being close, yes, it's a great thing. But also at the same time, it's only so much because, like, as a child, I felt like I was definitely feeling like I was a burden to my mom at one point. Like, in a sense to where, like, I felt like, okay, she's going through this. I don't want to put any more burden on her mm-hmm. for that. And then as you gradually are closer to your mom or closer to your parent, you start evolving and you start becoming one with that parent. And then you start letting their life evolve into your yeah. life. Mm-hmm. And that's where also it could also go to the point of like no return for a person. Mm-hmm. I feel like it depends on that relationship, obviously, but just like as y'all are talking, we're not just like me getting like that little like closeness with my mom in general. It's still like, it still can be a lot for
yeah.
a kid,
yeah.
especially like as a woman, as a daughter, because the thing is like, just like Demi said, she did try to be strong and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But even though you're trying to be strong, it still sometimes is not like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like at the end of the day, I feel like there needs to be a midpoint when yeah. it comes to telling your kid about everything, but also at the same time telling them just enough so they understand that, okay, I'm doing fine and I'm doing well.
And you yeah. spoon feed, you don't. So I guess kind of the same stuff. Mine, instead of being mom, is dad.
Yeah.
So like my mom left my dad. So it was just me and my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see it happen when I was two. So clearly I was young, but I didn't see the times when he was like depressed, or I didn't mm-hmm. see when he was like littered their stories where he was like holding on to me for dear life mm-hmm. and like my grandmother had to come in and be like, give me the baby, you take some time, but like, of course I didn't see that
yeah.
but and growing up, he didn't badmouth her, he didn't burden me with like what he was going through regarding that. But as I got older as a man, of course now we've had conversation, but that mm-hmm. wasn't conversation that we had, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, all the way up mm-hmm. through high school. Like, we didn't have these men conversations until yeah. you know I was in college,
yeah.
which, like you said, I don't think you should tell children, because if I had that
as a kid,
I would have
It's
a lot. Now don't get me wrong, I love my mom to death,
mm-hmm.
but it is mentally a lot, because also like I'm still personally if I can be honest, like if I can be totally transparent, mm-hmm. like I'm still dealing with internal things of how I interact with certain people,
mm-hmm.
or how I think about certain things, or how like it's just, I feel like sometimes like my mental could be a lot more at ease
mm-hmm.
if like, you know, when it comes if just like your relationship with your parent does not affect you that much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's really, you know, going back to the episode, I think that, you know, the girls had both ways. So, like, really, they kind of didn't even have more so, like, of a middle, if anything. Because they first had her, like, the whole time. Yeah. And then next thing you know, they, like, lost her. So, it's, like, going back and forth, back and forth. So, like, I feel like for them, they mentally were trying to figure themselves out, as well as trying to figure out what makes them them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What aspects of their mom did they exactly, like, what did they get off from her?
Yeah.
You know, what were they born with? You know, and I feel like in that moment in time, they were literally in a, like, okay, who am I?
Yeah.
And then, like, paint the picture. You have, like you said, they had a one family, which was their mom and their dad. That family dissolves. There now is a new family. Dad gets remarried eventually, has a kid. Mom is now with Ashton, and they're trying to have a kid. This dissolves also.
And they're older, too.
And it's like, so it's like everything that they seem to, as kids, I'm looking at it from their perspective, everything that they seem to get involved with dissolves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, well, are we supposed to have, like, a real family? Like, every time we keep trying to have this quote-unquote family, something happens.
Yeah. And they went from one extreme to the other. I can't say that they never knew their mom, but they didn't know her to begin with because she always put on a strong face. She didn't show her weakness. And then now they're seeing a completely different person who is nothing like the first person, but that wasn't her to begin with. Yeah. So it's like, who are you?
And then it makes them wonder, who are they?
Yeah.
You know, like, because the thing is, I didn't really hear much about the dad as much either. You know, I didn't really hear much as far as their relationship.
Because Bruce and Demi are still, or at least they were, on pretty good terms. So she's never really said anything negative about Bruce. She's just now kind of with this book kind of started going in on Ashton, but she has never said anything about Bruce, and he's always, through her sobriety, falling in and out, just every phase, he's been there. And Rumor was on Dancing with the Stars a couple seasons ago, and it was like a big moment because it's like literally bringing the family back together, and Demi and Bruce were both there, and it was like beautiful. So
going off of that, with Ashton, she was saying that she was trying to be this other person. Once again, she was trying to be who she thought he wanted, and that opened the door to alcoholism. So now we're talking about trying to change yourself for someone, which ultimately led her down a really dark path, which I think is even scarier, because you never want to change yourself to that extent. You don't want to change yourself at all, but the alcoholism...
I think it just got to the point where maybe Demi really felt like she was realizing, like, she was losing herself because she was trying to, like, be what he wanted to be. And because, like, you know, what people like to use as a coping mechanism is drinking. And so, obviously, she probably didn't want to, like, leave him or did not want them to, like, end. So, like, you know, I feel like it gets to the point for a woman if they're, like, you know, changing so much to where, like, it mentally, like... it mentally messes you up.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like the fact that that even caused her to go into, like, drinking, I feel like, you know, there were still more internal, like, issues that she still had that, even if she did, like, handle it, there were still internal issues when it, like, because she felt like she had changed for Ashton.
Yeah.
Did that make sense? Like,
yeah.
They had so many, like... So the reason that I kind of give a little bit of a side eye, I'm not as sympathetic as I probably should be, is because they had, like, so many differences. And I think that actors probably have a somewhat difficult time living in reality.
Oh, yeah.
That's so scary.
Oh, my God,
as someone that does act and has a creative mind, and Lord knows my mind just goes everywhere, there are times where I decide, you know what, today I'm going to be somebody else. And I make a character, and the entire day, I am this character.
Yeah.
And I feel like actors, because you have that skill, you can find yourself realizing, you know, I don't really like my life, so I'm just going to create
something else.
And then you get so far away from reality, and you finally wake up, and you're like, oh, wait, whoa, how did I get here? I'm not even being myself anymore.
Thinking about that the other day. You hear a lot of actors talk about having to get into the mindset of the character that they're being, and sometimes for months.
For months,
you're someone else, you're not yourself. So, yeah, I could see why going back to your real life is crazy.
Literally. For example, like, Kit Harington from Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Literally, after Game of Thrones was over, he had to go to rehab.
Yeah.
He literally had to go to rehab because he was a whole different person mentally.
Who was this is old school, and I know this is before your time, but I'm going to throw it out here anyway. Who was the guy that played Hannibal Lecter? It's not De Niro. Whoever that actor was. Nicholson, maybe? I don't remember. I'll look it up. But he even said, playing such a dark, demented character, he had to stop and, like, literally take some time because he committed to this horrific role so well that it was, like, really messing with his mind.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they do have to take breaks and, like, really.
Woo. That just says, I don't need to marry an actor.
Like, because, that is listen, all I that says.
Acting like you love me, okay?
Are you?
Exactly. Who are you really, okay?
I am who I need to be in this
when
moment.
When was that birthmark there on your face? Did you put that on today or what?
I am who I need to be in this
oh
moment.
Oh my goodness. Okay, let's talk about Demi's mom. So Demi and her mom didn't have a close relationship at all. And she actually said it wasn't until after her mom passed she had this awakening or realization that she had to be understanding of her in order to shift and allow her daughters to also be understanding of her, which I thought was really interesting. Mm-hmm. And it all kind of made sense that her relationship with her daughters is the way it is, and her relationship with her mom was the way that it was. I don't think she ever really learned that.
Yeah. She definitely had to, like, be strong for her mom, for sure, because of what her mom was dealing with. So, what other way can you even, like, act? You know what I mean? Especially just in the condition that her mom was in, like, what would you be? You know what I mean? How would you be if your mom was in the same position as Demi's mom, you know? Yeah. Like, how would you handle that? And that's, like, an actual question. How would you handle that?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like... Because she said that she was protecting her daughters by keeping them away from her mom. Mm-hmm. But that can't be good either. Because I don't know. I've never been in that situation.
Once again, you're talking to someone who didn't grow up with my biological mom anyway. So for me, it's like you pick up and move. Like, remember the shirt I wore, Get Over? Yeah. Like, you pick up and you move. Yeah. And it's like you have to do what's best for you. And what's best for you, sometimes it really sucks and sometimes it hurts. Mm. But at the end of the day, in order for there to be a next day, in order for things to get better, you have to take care of you. And if that means that in this moment, in their case, grandma, we can't really be around grandma right now because of whatever. That's a moment for Demi to sit down and have this conversation so that the children know, like, at least you don't have to go deep, but just know a little bit of what's going on.
Yeah.
And then you can go from there. But then this also helps the kids look at, oh, well, how does mom resolve these type of huge issues? Like, we know there's something wrong. She's addressed it. But now, oh, wow, mom is trying. She's putting forth the effort. Like, it's just you just have to use everything as a teachable moment.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But you also have to be in that mindset, because I know we're watching watching it now, but when you're in it, I'm pretty sure it's something totally different.
I'm not this poised in a crisis.
Yeah. And some people, they just don't think that way. Mm-hmm. They don't have that thought. There is no, well, what would be the best thing to do? They just deal with it after.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. I promise you probably won't get this type of calm and peace in the middle of a storm. No, so, never. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to hear it now. And I'm sure they look back and are just like, why didn't I do this, this, and that?
But I'm glad that they're able to talk and discuss it now.
Yes.
Because also at the same time, I feel like at the age that they're all in, I feel like this is a perfect moment to actually have the sit down and actually understand what mom is going through and what happened. Because the thing is, I feel like this is the first time that they really actually went deep down into it as well. And so, like, with that, you know, when you do talk to people, when you do talk to people about your problems, you start realizing about a lot of things. And I felt like them talking at Red Table Talk definitely, you know, gave them a lot of closure about a lot of things emotionally, especially because Demi definitely, like, opened and became more vulnerable to her daughters, it seemed like, more than she usually is.
Yeah.
What I love also, Jada, in talking to Demi about something, she took like a sidebar and apologized to Willow for not allowing her to express herself or her feelings, or allowing her to cry in that moment or whatever that particular scenario was. And I thought, whoa, every parent needs to see this, because there are some times when parents need to apologize to their kids. Sometimes the way that we can get over whatever horrific decision was made, some traumatic whatever, is if somebody just acknowledges it yes. and says, you know what, I'm sorry. I was learning, because parents are learning, you know, as they're raising us. I was learning as I go, and looking back on, I messed up here. Yes. And you know, I never apologized to you for that. That was a great moment.
Yeah.
And I wish more parents would do that.
Mm. And I think we as children, I feel, need to be a little bit, and I don't know how this is possible, because when you're a child, you just look up to your parents. You don't, you're not,
That's the first person you are born to see.
Right.
Their hero. So my dad is still my hero. That is yeah. your hero, yeah.
So you're not necessarily going through life like, okay, mom's making a mistake. Let me just accept it. You just kind of are sad, or it upsets mm-hmm. you. But I feel like now that we're older, we can be more aware of the fact that they do make mistakes. Like, they're not perfect mm-hmm. either. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the other side of it. Everyone just needs to be a little more aware.
Understanding.
Yeah, a little
it's
more.
Communication, really, yeah. though. Yeah. Like, it's really all about communication and understanding.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like every time, like, for sure, no, like, Red Table Talk definitely shows that, like, it's really about communication. It's really about, you know, trying to understand the other person's point of view as well. Because the thing is like, we have such a big habit of, like, tanking it in, but not actually understanding and actually trying to communicate not only their point of view, but your point of view. So that way y'all can meet to the middle.
Yeah. Yes.
You know?
Did we know that Gammy was an addict?
I did not.
We did know that. She said it a few times.
Yo, yeah, and a few times.
Oh, maybe it kind of like...
Yeah, it went yeah. over my head. Because
I was like, what?
28 years.
Wow.
That's a long time.
And the thing is, you can, at any point in time, you can relapse.
Like, anytime.
You can be sober for 35, 40 years and then slip and go right back in. Like, when they say it's an ongoing struggle, it literally is an ongoing struggle.
Oh, yeah,
it's
for
crazy.
Sure.
It's
every
crazy.
Day. It
and
is.
You think that they're in the clear because, like, everything is great. But I've always wondered to be in the mind of an addict and just be like, what is, like, do you feel the pressure? Like,
I mean,
are
yeah.
you, like, sitting around, like, are there times where it creeps into your mind? You're like, you know, I just want to get high. Like, do you have those moments? Like, I'm just sure. so curious.
I think that, I mean, I don't want to, like, compare, you know, addiction to, like, something so minor. But, like, it's something, like, for instance, that you know you're not supposed to have. In general, mm. that you know is not good for you, or food that's not good for you. You know what I mean? You know you can't have it, but you want it.
I'm that guy.
You know, it's self-control. yeah. Any yeah. type of moment that you felt like you were not yeah. in the self-control, that's exactly what an addict, I feel like, feels, but just 10 times worse, because the thing is like, they actually can't have it. Mm-hmm. You know, we tippy-toe, we're like, yeah. eh, I can't have it.
I can have maybe
it,
one.
Yeah, maybe one.
Yeah.
But as an addict, like, you actually have to say no. So that urge when you do want something, and that moment when you know you can't, that, like, imagine that 10 times more and every day.
Yeah.
Every something day. That you can't have.
And something like alcohol that's around
everywhere.
At all times.
I feel like alcohol's the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you know, cocaine and stuff, you're not, well, in LA, you might go to parties and there's cocaine everywhere.
Yeah.
But for
yeah.
the most part, no matter where you are in USA, people are drinking.
Yeah.
Like, what's the thing? You get off and work, oh, let's meet for a happy hour. Oh, it's somebody's drink, somebody's birthday. Turn up. Oh, happy whatever. Pour a drink. Like,
it's
drinking
a lot
is
harder
every,
than, yeah.
social drinking is everything.
Oh, everything.
Yeah, it seems
oh,
my gosh. So hard. But I will say, before we get into our news for today, I was reading the comment section on this video, and it's so nice to see that there are really no negative comments. And I think that the key to it is that we just all need to sit down and listen mm. to people who are not like us, to people who have gone through things that maybe we don't understand, mm-hmm. because it really does open the door and you just learn. Like, I always take so many notes, and I feel like I learn something new every time, and you're just more understanding.
So many notes.
Yeah. So many notes.
Pages.
Yeah.
Pages, y'all. Yeah, pages
of notes. On that note, let's get into our Mr. and Mrs. Smith segment yes. with the one and only Tyler Tyson.
I love this.
What's up, okay. y'all? It's your man, Tyler Tyson, with your news and gossip. So let's jump right into it. Starting things off, Willow, you know, I think last week I posted a picture showing Gammy doing her exercises, so I just wanted to post this as a follow-up showing that it's generational. Willow was out here celebrating her 19th birthday, just doing some amazing... Is that yoga?
Yes, that's yoga right there.
That's advanced.
Yeah, see, I don't know nothing about that one.
Y'all should watch this video. It's like about like these like couples doing yoga. It's kind of crazy the way that they transition without falling down.
Big ups to you, Willow. Happy birthday on that. We got a celebration for Willow coming up in these... in this video. Moving on, so you guys know it was Halloween. That's Jaden. He's, I don't know who he is, though. Clearly, the person he's with is a Joker. I have no idea who he is. There's a video that we're going to show, and you can actually see him in motion. Or maybe there was a video in the videos. There it is.
Oh, there it is.
See if y'all can figure out what he is. I still have no clue who he is. Who is that?
It's like, I can see the image in my head, but I don't know.
He high-key might be... Okay, so like, the only person I know that dresses like this was Tyler, the Creator.
He had a wig.
Yeah, the wig and the suit.
Remember, Jaden did make this announcement about being attached to Tyler, the Creator.
Look at me.
Romantically. Okay.
Wow.
Felicia the Goat.
That was good.
I'm not mad at that.
Was it right? Yeah, it was. That was right.
That's him. Wow. That's him.
Come on.
Wow.
You better be on it.
Okay, moving on.
So something that happened tragically last week. We lost John Witherspoon, who was an iconic comedian, especially in the black. I mean, he was everywhere, but especially in the black community, he was everywhere. So I couldn't really pull a video of everything that he's done because he's done so much. But here's one of the last interviews he did where he kind of went through how much he made in some of his movies. Take a look.
For the movie Friday, you've talked about only receiving $5,000.
You know how much money they made? $300 million. And they paid me $5,000. When we first shot the movie, nobody knew the movie was going to be that big.
Yeah.
Second Friday, I made $400,000.
Thank you so much.
And then the third Friday, I made over $1 million. But you ain't getting that money. There are S across the street in a sedan with some binoculars.
Witherspoon. You walk out with your check and they like, thank you.
Witherspoon. You know, all that stuff helped me. First Friday for $5,000. That's how I got a lot of other movies. Because people say, if I saw you on Friday, shout him out on Wednesday. I have a TV show we're doing. We want you to be our father. And so I made good friends with them.
Yeah.
And they put me in. We did 5 years on Wayne's Brother. Tracy Morgan, I was on his show.
Mm-hmm.
I got on his show from all that stuff. You know, people know you in the business. See?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You do your best.
Yeah, so that was just a quick little video showing you just, you think that they make so much money acting, but when you get on some of these projects, especially at the beginning, you do not make any money. So moving on, still going with Jaden, y'all know that he does have a tour coming up with Willow. It starts November 12th in San Diego. Here's a little video just to remind you.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, so make sure you get your tickets. You can go to Jaden or Willow's Instagram page, or you can go to willowsmith.com and purchase your tickets. So moving on, you guys know that Will is wrapping up working on Bad Boys 3, which is coming out in January 2020. Here's a little behind the scenes video of him with Wesley Snipes and Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy. Take a look.
Come out here now. Hey! You gain high. You gain high.
Looking like a dad.
Listen,
brother. We come to look for you. I come kiss the ring. You know what I'm saying? Come pay homage. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all take a picture.
It's hard to beat this. That's right there.
That's
legendary right there.
Reconnaissance.
I'm glad this video ain't scratch and sniff.
Will just looks like he just has not aged.
He just really is glowing.
That is crazy. Like, when, oh!
Oh! The whole crew.
That was a beautiful moment. You know, just, y'all saw it. Y'all know what it was. That was spectacular. Awesome.
Come on. Like, when's the last time you saw Eddie Murphy, Martin, Will, and Wesley Snipes? Okay, so you guys know I told you it was Willow's birthday. Her birthday's actually on Halloween. And they call it Willoween.
I love that. Yes.
So this is a video Will posted on his page to show the first time he was helping Willow drive. Y'all take a look.
A little dark, but Willow is doing her first real driving. And I'm going to turn around so you can see.
Young Willow.
All right, so Willow's driving. She's driving. Mm-hmm.
Come on, Maybach.
Right. Okay. Let that be my first car.
Oh. Okay.
She's so a little
cute.
More gas.
The whip my hair braids.
Let's get going out this
Daddy,
piece.
No.
Come on, you're driving all slow. Let's get this thing moving.
Okay, I'm getting it moving.
Do y'all remember the first time you drove and you sat in your parents' lap yes. and they let you?
Actually, I never sat in their lap.
Oh, no, it was the best. Every time after school, I would be like, Dad, let's go. Let's go to the mailbox.
I just, yeah.
My favorite thing to do when I was like 9. No lie. And then this is a video Jada posted on her page celebrating Willow's birthday. She's showing some baby pictures, so check it out.
She's the cutest thing I've ever seen. If I had a time machine, I'll go back to
1983.
Maybe I would chill with Basquiat.
Is this her?
Yeah. Oh, it's not the music.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it is.
That's so dope.
She's the mom.
Hey.
Happy birthday, Willow. Yes.
Oh, so Will Jada, I believe, posted a picture. So I told you they call it Willoween, but they'll show it in a moment. But first, Will went to Budapest and he made a little joke. You know, he's good for a fun, funny video. Mm-hmm. Take a look at what he wants to get Willow for her birthday.
Man, I came all the way to Budapest. I ain't getting my little Willow no present, nothing.
Oh.
This will work. You like that, baby?
Oh, like, my.
This is what I'm
how?
Saying. If I mean, I had a team, my Instagram would be popping. That's would, all I'm saying.
Oh, my.
What's crazy is this is so perfect for him. Will Smith is the perfect.
He's perfect for Instagram. Perfect Instagram.
Literally the GOAT.
Yeah. So that's that video. I think the next video, this is what Jada posted on her page. Oh, remember, gosh. I told you it's called Willoween. Take a look. And the caption said, more to come. So I don't know what else they have up their sleeve.
More to come.
But stay tuned to Jada's page. And then finally, our last video of the night. You guys know we love the Smith family. We love getting a sneak peek into how they interact with each other. Here's Will and Jada having a very candid moment.
Number one, you're not in charge of the bow ties. And B... That's what Jada used to tell you. She was getting married. She would mix up the numbers and the letters when she tried to make a point. She'd be like, okay, you know what? You know what? Number one, you wasn't even there, so you shouldn't be talking. And B, all right, this, it don't have nothing to do with you. Okay? Nothing to do with you. All right? And three.
Oh, that's so funny.
It just diminishes, it diminishes your point if you mix it up letters and numbers.
Do y'all do this?
On accident.
See, I really feel like... I feel comfortable with my Black Hollywood family, and I'm going to say this out of love. I feel like my sisters, this is what y'all do. Y'all go in at us.
No.
And it's always, look, first of all, you didn't do this, and
I
this.
I mean, we got
and
that.
Then, but then you jumped to, and B, you were doing numbers.
We're why passionate, and we got a lot to say.
You know this, what it means. You want us to say bullet point one? Like, you know.
This is Tyler Tyson with your Mr. and Mrs. Smith News Update. Also, happy birthday, Willow, from the crew here at
happy
Red
birthday.
Table Talk After Show.
Happy birthday,
happy
Willoween. Happy Willoween.
Nice,
yes.
I want to come to the party.
Me right? too.
So the second
maybe
part.
One day.
What's up? Hey.
Right. 2020?
Right.
Part. Will we be there? So that completes our show for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, make sure you subscribe. We will be back here next Monday, same time, same place. Yes. But in the meantime, you can follow us all on Instagram. You can follow me at Miss Tyler Simone. Where can they follow you guys?
Well, you can follow me on Instagram, Miming Official, MAIMING Official.
And you can get your entire life following me on all social media at The Tyler Tyson.
Yes, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.